This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, episode 17 for July 17th, 2009. Zombie plus human equals vampire. Welcome to the 17th episode of the Rare Witch Roundtable, the premier podcast about Rare, Xbox and the Rare Witch Project forums. From Victoria, Australia, I'm Calvin Getley, and with me today we have Rich Henry, Grey Ginger from Rochester, New York.
Hey.
We also have Aaron Haslam, Gruntling from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello.
We have Larry Keller, Bottles 98 from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hello.
And joining us for the first time this week, we have Keenan Bordler, Walrus, from Jaffrey, New Hampshire.
Hello.
So, starting off with our number 3 news article this week, Rare announced via their official Twitter feed that Viva Pinata are getting an OST release. So, come July 28th, you'll be able to pick one up, and it will include songs from the original Viva Pinata, Trouble in Paradise, and also some songs that we have yet to hear.
There's not a whole lot to say.
Are you going to be picking it up?
I might, since it actually has, like, new stuff.
Oh, well, of course you will. You keep Rare going single-handedly, you know that, Larry?
Well, but I only bought the Nuts and Bolts soundtrack because it was Banjo.
At this point, it's not arrogant for you to say that Rare exists to please you. I'm amazed they don't just send you a mail and ask for your favorite tracks.
The Larry Mix.
Something about Larry Mix is just funny.
And with that, we'll move on to our number 2 news article. Microsoft will be showing an exciting unannounced project at Comic-Con. We know that they'll be showing Halo 3, ODST, Alan Wake, the Beatles Rock Band, Left 4 Dead 2, and the Xbox Live Arcade, South Park, and Shadow Complex. But apparently there is something new and exciting from one of their top franchises. Any ideas or any thoughts on what you'd like to see announced?
Well, they said it was something from one of their top franchises, so
not Banjo.
I imagine it'll be something like Halo. What kind of games does Microsoft, like, what are their top franchises?
Halo.
Blinks the Cat. There's Burger King games.
It's going to be a Burger King game. Calling it now. Sneak King 2.
God, I hope so. I don't know. Everyone says something about it being from Rare, but unless it's Perfect Dark 2, I can't see it being Rare related.
Do any of Rare's product lines count as Microsoft's top anything?
Well, Perfect Dark was a launch title, so it sold tons and tons of copies. Almost everyone that has a 360 has Perfect Dark Zero, so I guess you could possibly count it. Besides Halo, I can't think of any really premier Microsoft game. And I don't know if Halo, like when they say a Microsoft game, do they mean a game that's exclusive to Microsoft's console, or do they mean one that's made in one of Microsoft's studios? Because Halo's Bungie, so that won't even count anymore, since Bungie's not exclusively an Xbox 360 company.
I agree.
Doesn't need to be a game, though. It's an unannounced project, so perhaps it's something else.
That wouldn't be very exciting, though. If it was, I was reading the article. It says it could be downloadable content or something else of that nature. So I don't think that would be really exciting.
So when they say exciting, they mean monumentally boring.
I think it's a video game, especially the way they worded that.
When they say top franchise, too, do they mean top franchise currently? Because, I mean, like, Battletoads was a top franchise back in the day, but would that qualify now as a top franchise?
Qualify as a top Microsoft franchise.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I figured they weren't going to announce that until next year anyway. I was just reaching for information.
Well, I suppose we'll just have to wait until Comic-Con to find out. When is Comic-Con? Does anyone know?
It's coming up on July 23rd, so that's like less than a week away.
So something to talk about on next week's podcast, maybe.
Perhaps.
Perhaps maybe also.
Okay, and our number one news article this week. In an interview with CNET.com, Bill Gates says Natal is going to bring gesture recognition to Windows as well as the Xbox 360. He doesn't see it for Windows games, or at least yet, but he does see it for interacting with Windows programs and possibly between the Xbox 360 and Windows a bit more.
Hands-free surfing.
The thing that concerns me the most about this is if it works on a PC and Xbox, it probably is plugged in through USB, which means when you have it plugged into your Xbox, you're going to be really limited on ports. All of my controllers are wired controllers, not wireless. So if I have Natal plugged in, only two people are going to be able to use a physical controller at the same time.
And you can't get any USB hubs to extend the ports or anything for it?
Well, you can. I heard it's not safe. I don't actually know, though. I know that when I got Rock Band, it came with a splitter so that you could plug all the instruments in via USB. But it says, don't use this for multiple controllers. Only use it for blah, 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 Rock Band, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know.
Unless they bring out two different versions of the Natal, one for your computer with a USB adapter and one that's for the Xbox 360 with a wireless sort of connection.
Well, I guess wireless would be worse, though. Can you imagine putting batteries in it all the time? I would imagine it would have to be USB. I can't see them doing a wireless version. It's just something I didn't think of until they made this announcement.
The only thing I can think about is just sitting there waving my hands and operating a web browser. That's the only thing that I can think about right now. Because that would be bitchin'.
I love it when I have nothing to say. I bring so much to this show.
Well, to be fair, you're probably going through withdrawals from not being able to play Sonic Unleashed. I got Unleashed like probably at the beginning of the week. I was like, oh, Unleashed is a pretty good game. Larry's like, oh, I'm going to pick it up from GameStop because it's only $20. In like 2 days, he beat almost the entire game, passed me in gamer score by like 200 points. I'm amazed.
Well, I don't have a life, so most of my time is spent sitting around all day playing video games when possible.
Walk us through a day of Larry.
I play video games. I surf
What's
the internet.
What's your favorite food? What's your favorite food?
For a walk for about an hour each day when it's not storming, and my favorite food, anything that I can eat there.
Well, we'll move on to Forum Watch. Keenan, you're the new person, you can start us off. What's your topic for this week?
My topic is, I have never watched an episode of Futurama by Repo Banjo, and since it's one of my favorite shows, I cannot fathom how someone could not watch it, especially as it's become so popular again, recently, after its
Ray
cancellation.
Ray Jinjo.
Why are you saying my name?
He's never watched it? Gray.
No.
Hell.
You've never watched Futurama?
No. I mean,
ever?
In one of the earlier podcasts, we talked about it. I made a website
ever?
Futurama for school, and I never watched the show.
It's a shame. It is a really good show.
I think it is. I think it's better than The Simpsons.
I found the new, like, movies really weird. Like, it's still, like, the same writing and everything, but it's just incredibly bizarre. Like, Bender's Big Score was just so out there.
Yeah, yeah, it was completely synonym for crazy.
I found that movie to be fantastic.
I haven't watched... Has there been, like, new episodes? I know there's been a couple of, like, DVDs released, like, the movies that you were talking about, but hasn't there been, like, new episodes ordered or new episodes that have come out?
The new episodes are airing next year.
Oh, okay.
What channel are they on?
Comedy Central.
Figures. It's the only gum with the breath-freshening power of ham.
And that's just the perfect quote to end on.
Okay, so with that quote, we'll move on to the next topic. Aaron, how about you? What's your topic for this week?
Okay, my topic is Longest Time Spent on Games by Devil Banjo. Okay, and he asks, so, what is the longest time you've spent on a game? He says that... Well, actually, you can go ahead and say that. He doesn't really specify. He just says, what's the longest time you spent on a game? So,
I meant altogether... Like sitting or...
Well, what's the longest game that you played the longest sitting then?
Link to the Past. I played that for, like... 10 hours.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah, no, Larry can probably dock that in, like, 3 weeks.
He played Sonic Unleashed for the last 72 hours, so...
Okay.
Yeah, but there are games that I've spent hundreds of hours on in total. Yeah,
what's your record for one sitting?
In one sitting?
Or standing, I mean, as long as you don't walk away from the TV.
In recent memory, like, I played Brawl for, like, 60 hours almost straight when it came out, so... And also, Sonic Unleashed, as has been mentioned.
I'm going to be annoying. I have three answers to this question. First one, most time. On my Melee memory card, I have over 1,300 hours, according to these system settings. And then, the worst part is, that was only from, like, years ago when I used to play by myself. Since then, you figure, I've been in Smash Club for 2 years. So I've played Smash every Wednesday and Friday for about 30 weeks a year. I probably got around 2,000 hours clocked in on that game. Total. So that's total. In one sitting, this is answer two, I played when the Banjo Nuts and Bolts demo came out. I played it for 29 hours straight, literally. As in, I downloaded it and I played, and I didn't go to sleep until 12 or 1 o'clock the next day, the next afternoon. So I played it literally 29 hours straight. I ate while I played it. I didn't shower that day. I played it for literally 29 hours. And then answer three, I would say the longest, most ridiculous sitting, even though it wasn't as long, is when I used to be really big into Smash Brothers Melee Break the Targets, I played Ganon's Break the Target stage for 12 and a half hours. And at the end of it, I got a time of 5 seconds, so I essentially played a 5-second stage for 12 hours.
Over and over.
And over and over.
The same stage.
Well, I was creating a new strategy. Like, at the time, the record was 6 seconds. It was like 6.8 or something, and I got it down to 5.2. So it was a lot of trial and error, like, where is everything, hitting them, seeing if it was possible. Yeah, but in the end, it came out to be like 5.2 seconds, so I spent 12 and a half hours on a 5.2 second stage.
I would have, like, rage quitted hours before that.
I gotta say, Gray, that sounds a little OCD.
Well, you had to, at the time. Like I said, that was back when I was really hardcore into it. I was probably 12, 13 or something around. Like, or it was around then. So, like, I had probably 13, 14 world records, like, ahead of the Japanese kids and all of that. So it took, you had to play it for 12 and a half hours, because if you only played it for 3 hours, someone else would play it for 12 and a half hours and they'd get a better time than you. So, yeah, I quit that, though, so don't worry about my health or safety. But
and I never do.
I gotta say that, like, compared to you, I've never done anything nearly that long. I think the longest game I've ever played, like, put the most time into it was probably like a Pokemon game. I think with Pokemon Red, I put in maybe 150, 200 hours. I can't remember exactly, but I know it was at least over 100 hours. And for like the longest sitting, I remember I played Super Mario RPG for it was close to like 13 hours, something like that. But that's like nothing compared to you. I was looking it up on Google. 2,000 hours. 2,000 hours is 83 days. that's almost borderline sad.
that's only 3 months of never sleeping or eating or going to the bathroom. Exactly. About 10 of the hours was spent leaving the game on overnight to get Mewtwo. So I guess only like 1,990 hours.
That's much better.
It's only 82 days.
Oh, thank God.
Most time I've put into a game would be Pokemon Pearl that I can remember, and that was it's at over 210 hours at the moment or something like that. In one sitting, there's heaps of them that I've gone, but not anything extreme like 29 hours or 82 days, but it must 15, 16 hours, and it's been like Donkey Kong Country way back when that came out, and Pokemon Pearl, and
Bramble Scramble, man. That's a hard level. Like, that one level with the thorns and shit.
We'll move on to the next topic. Gray, what do you have for us?
I picked the thread by someone about fast
Tanjo. I think it was Tanjo.
Fast zombies versus slow zombies.
Yeah, don't know exactly what we're gonna say about this, but
I didn't actually post in that thread, but I did read it.
I don't think there really is a thing competition between a fast zombie and a slow zombie, because I always thought a zombie was someone that was dead and then came back to life, and I don't know of any. I can't think of one game or movie where things die and then come back to life and are fast.
The
like
Bible.
In 28 days later, they're not dead. When they do die, they don't come back. So those are fast, kind of infected things. And then in Left 4 Dead, the things aren't dead either, because when you shoot them, they die then, etc., etc. So the only time I know things that have actually come back to life was Resident Evil and Night of the Living Dead and things
book.
Like that, and they've always been slow, as far as I know.
They should be slow. They're dead.
Yeah, there's that.
Slow zombies are funnier.
I agree.
A fast zombie wouldn't be funny.
But I don't know. What was the last comedy zombie game you played?
I don't remember. I don't think I have ever... Wait, no, I played Resident Evil 4. That was the last one.
And that one was pretty funny, actually.
Were those people actually zombies, though? They were just crazy people, right?
On Resident Evil?
Resident Evil 4.
Oh, I don't know about the fourth one. I still have to play that this summer.
Oh my gosh, you haven't played Resident Evil 4? It's like the best game.
I played Resident Evil 1, 2, 3, Code Veronica, and Zero, and Survivor, but I've never played 4 yet.
Well, all the rest suck. 4 is the only good one.
Okay.
Wow. Have you played the rest of them?
No.
See, well, then you have no idea. I hope 4 sucks now, so I can tell you stuff. Hey, Ann, what's the last game you played?
The last game I played?
Yeah.
I think it was The Sims 3.
Sucks, what a shitty game. Who plays Sims? Little girls. Little girls play The Sims.
Why do we even need more than one of The Sims anyway?
Because it's addicting.
Can you just play the first one over and over again?
It gets boring after a while.
Okay.
So what's different about The Sims 3 as opposed to 1 and 2?
You can, like, kill them in different ways. It's more realistic.
So, okay, with these zombies, if you had a slow zombie chasing you, a whole lot of slow zombies, or a couple of fast zombies, which would you prefer?
A bunch of slow zombies.
In a game or in real life?
In real life.
Oh, fuck the slow zombies. Because you figure if there's a real outbreak, man, there's 6 billion people no matter how long it takes for them to get infected. So, you know, if you have a lot of slow zombies, then at least you know where a lot of them are. You get 3 fast zombies, you know that there's another probably 400 fast zombies around the corner.
With periscopes.
The only thing is, there's one good side to the fast zombies. They kill you quickly. So, if you were to be a shitty zombie escapist, I guess you would prefer the fast zombies, because the slow ones just kind of, like, eat you, and then they take their time because they're dead, they're not really that hungry, they're just kind of biting your arms and shit. So you're saying that, you know, it's not like they go for your neck or anything to try and kill
all
you.
All they want is your brains.
Your
arm,
bite into your legs. The
well, they
fast
just walk around and say, brains.
Fast zombies just come over and, like, stab you in the neck, and then that's it, you're dead, game over, so...
But what if the fast zombies are only fast to catch you, but not fast to kill you?
Well, that would suck, but now you're getting... What if the slow zombies are only slow to get you, but they're fast to kill you?
What if the slow zombies and the fast zombies have some sort of mutant middle speed zombie?
You're assuming that zombies can mate.
It's Joe the zombie.
I enjoy long walks anywhere.
He'd just be like the average guy, except... as a zombie.
Yeah, really.
I enjoy rending flesh on my spare time.
What I find funny is they have the really slow zombies, and that's always scary. Zombies going around the corner and you have to shoot them, and it's frightening. Then you have the really fast zombies that are running towards you and about to eat your neck or whatever, and that's really scary. But if you had a game where like there was just some bloke standing around kind of walking towards you, that would be there'd be absolutely nothing scary about that game.
If you have both kinds of zombies, and you have zombie dating service, then you have to come up with new acronyms. Like F for fast, and S for slow, and to be like a slow male zombie.
To be fair to Walrus, though, if you actually think about it, it actually would be kind of Like, just think about reading one of the things on Craigslist or something, like, slow male zombie looking for a fast, attractive young female zombie. I don't know. I think it has more potential than I gave it at first.
Well, when the zombie population starts to increase, you've got a winner of a business there.
And what about zombies doing it with humans? Can you get half zombies?
The half bit. Probably get vampires. Can't think of how else that would work.
Okay, Larry, your thread.
My thread is words you never use, posted by Deku Scrubby in Almost Anything Goes. So, what words do you guys never use? I was thinking about it, and words I never use, even though I know of them, would be something like, I don't know, supposition.
I have one. I have a few, actually. Whence, W-H-E-N-C-E, and unbeknownst, as in unbeknownst to me.
I have one. Bloody. I never use bloody. Like, British people and... I don't know, Australian people, they say bloody a lot. Do Australians say bloody a lot?
Some do.
What would happen if you got stabbed in the chest? How would you describe your shirt?
I would say it was...
ruined.
There you go.
You would say what, Aaron?
Ruined. Red liquid.
Probably good that you don't use bloody. When I use bloody, people make fun of me.
I've never heard any American say that.
Well, that's probably why I get made fun of. Or when I use tears... When I use tears, I get made fun of all the time. I have to, like, condition myself to not use the word in America.
When would you say cheers? Like, use it in a sentence.
Like, I'll say, Gruntling, can you turn the oven on? I don't know why you're being my house bitch, but... I'll say, like, Gruntling, can you turn the oven on? And you'll be like, yeah, sure. And I'll say cheers, and then I walk away. But I don't know.
It's messed up.
He walks away. He walks out of his own house.
Yeah. It's like a substitute for thanks, I don't know.
Thanks, not really. Goodbye, or good luck, or something like that.
I try to think of words I never use, but the problem is every time I think of a word I never use, I start using it on accident because I just thought of it. I don't use any word from, like, Middle English. Like, all those, like, shall. I never go, I shall, blah, blah, you shall, blah, 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 blah. Because that just makes you sound like an old cunt, I think. I don't know.
That's not Middle English.
Whatever. It's retarded.
Middle
English
is like, how dost thou feel? Yeah. That's Middle English.
No, that's modern English. It's just really old modern English.
How doth thou feel? Yeah, how doth thou feel? Shall we dance?
I don't know. Middle English is completely different.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it sucks. And I hate...
Did you ever read the Canterbury Tales in the original text? That's Middle English.
Okay,
and
whatever
Beowulf,
it is, it sucks. It sucks, and fags use it.
And Beowulf is Old English. And Professor Walrus, thank you.
Problem, when I try and think of words that I never use, I can't think of any because I never use them.
Yeah, that's another problem I had. I try to think of words I don't use, but I don't fucking use them, so they don't come to mind.
One word I don't say almost ever is mate. I just never say mate.
That's
you're
a lie.
There's no way.
I can't believe that.
They'll kick you out of Australia for that.
No. I say like, g'day all the time, but I never say mate, so it's never g'day mate, it's just g'day.
Well, in Australia...
That's true, you must be breaking, like, 50 laws.
What do you call your friends in Australia? You call them your mates.
I call them friends.
No!
You're full of
You're
shit.
Not very Australian, are you?
Well, I thought the g'day was pretty Australian, but apparently not.
No. Good day's just throwing two American words together.
Say bottler again. That's how you say it. It's like you say it really like with a strong Australian accent when you say it, like bodla. I can't do it.
Bodla.
Bodla.
Pinata.
Pinata.
The thing is he says it almost completely perfectly, so
I like your Victoria.
Victoria.
I'm from Victoria, Australia.
Victoria.
Why is this the first time I'm hearing that you guys like Victoria?
I only noticed it today.
Yeah, I notice it all the time, and I figure, fuck it, he's Australian, it can't be helped.
You're not very Australian-like. It's disappointing.
Didn't I just say that?
Well, what does it mean to be Australian, then?
Like, say something Australian, like, say, good day,
mate. You have to put shrimp on the Barbie and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
even though you probably call them prawns.
say, I'm going to play my didgeridoo.
What?
I played didgeridoo once. Those things are hard to play.
They are very difficult.
But it sounds awesome.
So what the hell are you guys even...
Say crikey.
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 Crikey,
Climby.
Crikey made is basically all of Australia in one phrase.
What about blimey?
I don't say blimey.
Blimey really isn't Australia. It's like British.
What?
It's like both.
It's blimey. Like a word.
Okay, so my topic for this week is, when was the last time you did something for the first time? Started by why me, 1, 2, 3.
When was the last time you did something for the first time? I love why me.
So, the last time I did something for the first time, last week I played paintball for the first time with some friends, and I really enjoyed playing paintball, but that was the last time I did something for the first time. What about you guys?
Was playing with friends for the first time, or was it paintball for the first time?
Well, a little from column A and a little from column B, it's sort of a 2-for-1.
I didn't know this was a shopping menu, but alright.
So what about you guys, anything? When was the last time you did something for the first time?
I can't come up with a single thing.
You have the easiest one. You're on the podcast for the first time.
Oh, right, yeah.
I've done this about 20 times now, so it doesn't feel like... And it's been a while now, but about a month ago, I started kayaking. That was probably the first new thing I've done in a decade, so...
So that was actually for real?
Yeah, well, that was the time that I went. I already had gone a lot of times. That wasn't like the first time I went kayaking. First time I went kayaking was like probably the beginning of June, I would say.
Do you just go by yourself, or do you go kayaking with someone?
First time I went with my mother so that I didn't die. I figured there's someone to bail me out that actually knew what was going on. Then since then I kayaked by myself probably about 5, 6, 7 times. And then the last time I went, I went with my girlfriend, so she wouldn't die. She didn't kayak before either.
Is it fun? Because it sounds kind of boring in a way. I think I would like find hiking more interesting or something like that.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. Like, the first time it's fun because you didn't do it. And then after that, it's just kind of like extra slot size / quiet. I don't know. Like, you're just out in the middle of a giant lake or something, or you're on a river and you're just kind of like going, and you hear sounds, but it's all kind of like the mechanical flip books you buy in stores so you can help yourself go to sleep. Like those types of sounds. So I don't know. Last time though, I made two times ago actually, I made a mistake. I went, that was last Friday when during the podcast time, and I went around 6, and then I started late. Usually I go earlier, so it's still sun. Sunny is the adjective. No, no nouns needed in that sentence. But so it was. It's usually still sunny, but last time I went at 6, so it got to about 8 and started getting dark. And I thought it would be fine because I didn't anticipate any of the problems. For one, there's no lights on my kayak, so there's motorboats. And they can't see me because it's dark. So I'm, like, pedaling for dear life so that I don't get run over by giant boats. And then the second major problem was I was kayaking, and there's all these bugs the later it got, because I guess they come out at night, and they start eating, like, the weeds and stuff floating in the water. So there's a bunch of bugs on the lake, and I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. Dragonflies flying by me and all kinds of just disgusting things. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And then all of a sudden, it got about a half hour went by, and fucking, I was almost happy with the bugs because a bunch of bats came down to eat the bugs. So I'm sitting there kayaking, like 12 bats flying around my head. I thought I was going to get vampire killed or something. I don't know. I was waiting for one just to nestle in my hair, thinking it was a bush or something, and just start digging into my head. So, I don't know. And I started kayaking. Like, normally, I go at a pretty decent pace, but I started fucking, like, Olympic kayaking through the lake. I probably set a personal speed, like, velocity record for where I was at. I went from, I probably got there around 6:30, and I got out of the water at about 10:30, 11, so. Although, I like I said, I'm 2 minutes from the lake, so I don't, like, usually when people go kayaking, it's like, okay, we're going to drive, we're going to camp out, and then we're going to kayak the next day, so they kayak for like 10 hours because it's like a trip. It's not really a trip. It's fucking driving down the street. So, you know, I don't go for 10 hours at a time. I'll go for, like, 4 hours, and then I'll just kayak the next day for 4 hours. You know what I mean?
If you know what I mean.
Apparently none of you do. Okay.
I've never kayaked.
This was an RPG, I'd level up all of your comprehension skills first. Then I'd level up your humor skills.
Well, you would need to level up yours first.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, snap.
This is a well. You might think there is something to it, but in fact, it is only a well.
What? What the hell?
That sounds familiar.
It's from the original Final Fantasy.
That's what it... Oh, there we go.
So what about the rest of you? When was the what was the last time you did something new?
When was the first time you did something for the last time?
I think we should stick with the original topic first. Until everyone answers that.
We're just turning things on their heads here.
We're just thinging turns on their heads.
Okay, that's enough of that.
I can't think of anything for me personally. I haven't really done anything new recently.
Well, we'll give you time.
This is the first time you've been on a podcast with me on it. There you go.
All right.
No. Well, no faggot escape card.
I can't think of anything like interesting. Like, I had seafood for the first time last night in like a month. I don't know.
Not like in a month. What? Larry, when was the last time you cut your beard? Larry, your beard. When was the last time you cut it?
The beginning of 2008.
Moving on to our Hell's Forum discussion. This week we have a rare opportunity where we have a judge and a contestant of the competition. So I figured, well, we may as well talk a bit about the competition from both your point of view.
I wasn't aware there were specific judges, actually. Like, I don't think they mentioned that.
Well, I know, I haven't been judging anything. No one's asked me to do anything.
I think it's just Ice, Mandy, and Gray.
Well, basically, I don't know. What happened was Mandy posted a thread about Hell's Forum asking for ideas or something, and no one said anything, so Mandy's like, okay, I guess we're doing Hell's Forum. So I'm kind of just running with that, I don't know.
So what have you thought of the contestants so far, Gray? In general. Don't have to go specifics with anyone, but...
It really varies depending on who it is. I've been surprised with some people, and then other people I thought would kind of do more, and they haven't really done much. Tanja was really surprising. Not to piss on him more or anything, but when we started round one, he was the first... Within 5 minutes, he completed the entire test that, I guess... quiz, the Breaking the Rules quiz, and he got all 20 right, and then he started modding threads. He modded 2 threads and started his thread before anyone else did anything, and then after that he didn't do anything, so it was really confusing, because for a minute there it looked like he was, you know, really on the ball, really serious, like, ahead of the game and everything, and then all of a sudden he just quit. So that one was surprising in that sense.
I don't understand why he quit. Did he say why?
I don't really know. He said something about he'd have to follow the rules then, so he obviously doesn't know how the staff works, but I don't know. He kind of really fought to even get in, because he was originally a maybe. We had 7 people guaranteed to make it in, and then we had 3 maybe spots, and he was a maybe, but he really, like, tried to get in. Like, he was in the chat and everything. He was sucking up hardcore, et cetera, et cetera. It seemed like he really wanted... to be part of this competition, and then all of a sudden, he just kind of dropped out. So he actually put more effort into getting into the competition than he put into the competition.
I have to admit, I expected him to last longer than the first week.
I'm actually really surprised that Stephen Colbert was cut so early. I thought lasted longer.
I'm really not surprised that anyone's cut early, because when you think about it, all 10 people, like, no matter who gets cut, it always feels like they were cut too early. You know what I mean? Like, there's not... I don't know how to explain it, but it's because all of the people seem like they could go far. So every time someone gets cut out, it's like, oh, wow, they're already out. I thought they were going to make it to round 3, but, you know... Or, I mean, round 6 or something, but not everyone can make it to round 6. So it's kind of... I don't know. It's weird every time we drop someone. When we dropped Tanjotes, I thought Tanjo would have made it farther. When you dropped Colbert, I thought Colbert would have made it farther. But then when you actually ask, like, okay, so who was going to get cut this week? It's like, and then you have no answer for it. You know what I mean?
Well, what I was saying earlier in an earlier podcast was that I think it's really kind of surprising. There's really, like, no clear-cut, like, who's better than someone else, you know? Like, everyone is pretty evenly matched. I think they can all do really well. They really haven't made any big mistakes or shown that they're, you know, they would be a bad choice or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, I did fail there's the basic rules test.
Yeah, you really bombed that test. I don't know how.
Yeah, I know why. I took that incredibly seriously. Like, for serious. I have no idea.
I just say, from checking the logs and that, going into it, I had expectations for who was going to do well, blah, 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 and that all completely changed. Some of the people I thought were going to be the last ones there are kind of sucking now, and in reverse, some of the people that I thought were going to be cut weeks one and two are still in the competition, and I don't think they'll be cut this week either. But now I do think, from looking, there are a couple people, I won't say who, but they've been doing not substantially better. But, like, if this week, instead of picking to cut one person, we had to, like, pick one person, we couldn't pick one person, but we could narrow it down, I think, to more than just cut. Because how many are going to be left after this week? Seven?
Yeah, seven.
If we were, we'd probably be able this week to, just from what's currently been happening, pick, like, the top. I think it's easy to narrow it down to the top three that have been doing really well. Three is, again, an arbitrary number. I didn't actually fucking look and try to pick. Like, I don't actually have certain people in mind. I'm just saying I think we could narrow it down to three. But I think the way we have the competition now is good, because if we would have narrowed it down to three on week one, we would have had a different three than if we narrowed it down last week, as compared to if we would have narrowed it. You know what I mean? Like, Every week, the three that I would pick have been different, because different people have been going extra miles and stuff at different times, so... So overall, I'm glad that we're not just quick picking like that. But I just want to say that because you said about how everyone was kind of even keel. And I think from week to week, there are standouts. I don't think everyone's even as even keel as you think they are. And, well, yeah. I mean, we both know everything, so it's just opinion. But we both have the same information. But
I thought that reading some of the responses from, you know, the question of the week were really interesting.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Yeah, a lot of those were really well thought out and well written. I was kind of surprised.
You can just say mine wasn't. I know it wasn't. Like, I know I thought about it, but I know that, like, by the way it looks, that people are going to think that you didn't think about that, did you?
It wasn't that bad.
I wrote that at 4 o'clock this morning when I went before work and realized I had to do it because I wouldn't be able to do it any other time today. So I was pretty out of it. I just slept 4 hours and... I was like,
Well, I made questions one and two. The question this week was actually, even though I typed it up and everything, Mandy came up with this week's questions, which is why it's kind of a different direction. Like, you know, mine was more, like, personal type questions, and this is more of a moderating ability type question. But I thought it was a pretty, like, I didn't think there'd be a lot of variance in the questions, and I, like, there's good answers, but I didn't think there was going to be any awesome answers, because at the end of the day, it's about locking thread, and how fucking exciting is that? So when I read Danny's response to that, I thought was really good. Like, I was surprised someone could be that elaborate and like exciting about the thread locking and that. Like, the other ones, the other people's responses I read through for the sake of seeing what everyone thought and seeing who had the best answers and that, but Danny's was actually almost like when you read a magazine article or something and you actually want to go through it. You know what I mean? Just the way you put it, I don't know. So I guess props to Danny.
And what about the competition from your point of view, Keenan? How do you feel it's going? What do you think's good about it? And being a contestant, are you enjoying it? Or are you finding it just tedious?
To begin with, it was a little overwhelming. But it's gotten a bit smoother since then. And I don't know, every week that goes by, I just keep thinking, hey, it wasn't cut. That's awesome.
What week do you think that you'd be cut?
Sometime before the midpoint, so like before week five. What relevance does that actually have?
I was just wondering.
I also think that it was kind of bad luck that I got paired up with people that were in different time zones and that have no life, because I go to work every day for 8 hours and then I go do stuff, you know, an hour or two after work, and then I get home and they did all the moderating. So I would stay up all night just waiting for people to make threads that I could delete or lock or post that I could edit. just so I could say, hey, I did something. Because they would do everything before I even got home. Before
wouldn't
I woke
the not
up
being
or,
in the same time zone be good? Because wouldn't they be sleeping when you were awake? And then, wouldn't they give
in
you
actuality, yeah, but for the purposes of the competition, it makes me look bad because it looks like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, but I mean, once you have, like, there's a lot of time where they would be sleeping, so you'd be the only one to do it, wouldn't you? I don't know because I haven't actually, like...
Yeah, because Pez lives in England and Great Man lives, I think, in California. I have no idea. So, and I'm right in the middle. I'm in Eastern time zone, so...
Okay, well, awesome. What do you like about the contest? Is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, when it first came out, my first reaction was, this is actually a legitimately awesome way to pick a moderator. But then, as soon as I saw the stuff that we'd be doing, I was like, oh. I didn't even think I would make it past the application stage, to be honest. Because, like, I worked on it, but I tried not to be too wordy, so I think in the end it ended up being too short.
How long was it? I don't remember off the top of my head. There were, like, 30 apps. 35 or whatever.
I had, like, a couple of sentences per question, I think. I don't actually remember.
But you're probably good.
And then I can't go back and find it because I reported it.
Right. Well, there's no one that put, like, there was no full essay responses, so.
Well, that was my first reaction. I was going to, like, I'm actually going to do full paragraphs. And I was like, they're not going to want to read all that crap. All my semicolons and hyphens.
Yeah, semicolons. Ever since Norsey signed up, semicolon just pissed me off.
What I've noticed, I'm going to name names. I don't know if this is good or bad.
Oh, just name names. Who cares?
Well, I was looking at... I'm not going to, like, say anything about the responses themselves, but I was just, like, you know, looking at some of the responses. I noticed that, like, Avarice has, like, really short responses usually, and Ice Lightning has really long and thorough responses, and everyone else is, like, somewhere in between.
Yeah, I guess that'll be good. So Avarice knows... His fucking response.
Ice Lightning takes, like, Ice Lightning, like, makes the least amount of posts out of anyone that makes a lot of posts, if that makes any sense. He, like, reads a thread, and he spends, like, an hour sitting there thinking about it, and then he starts a response, and he'll just, like, you know, delete it halfway through, and, like, everything's an essay to him. I don't know. And he can play the cup game really well.
For if any of the people that actually are in the contest are listening, this after we cut whoever we cut next, which hasn't been decided yet for the record, I'm going to go through and message everyone and tell them why they suck or why they don't suck. Mostly why they suck, though. Basically in the format of, if you want to be a moderator, you have to not suck in this way. You have to change this.
That's a good idea, I think.
But you have to actually say why you, like, you have to say this is why you suck.
I'll do it.
Yeah, because for a lot of people, it's just going to end up being, like, a very long version of you suck because.
The only thing is, I'm going to have to, like, do this over time because, well, not over time. I guess I'll do it really bad. But I want it to be elaborate. I don't want to just be like, you suck because of A, B, and C. Like, I don't want to type two sentences and be like, this is why you suck, don't suck as much. You know what I mean? So I was going to try and make it elaborate, but that's going to, for seven contestants, that's going to take time.
Do you have anything planned for future weeks, or are you just going to make it up as you go along?
We don't have something for every week yet, but we do have, I think, three, maybe four of the weeks already planned.
Did you sit down and say this is what's going to happen the last week, or no?
Not the last week specifically, but we did sit down. Well, by sit down, we were on Skype and not even talking. We were just on the messenger part of Skype. We came up with a bunch of ideas pretty much all in one sitting. This week actually wasn't an idea we came up with. We were just like, what are we going to do? Then we were like, we'll just leave it up. And so this one was kind of just leaving what was already there and coming up with something to do with it. Like, this wasn't one we planned in advance. But the other ones we just came up with a handful of ideas at once. No specific weeks or anything, just ideas.
Kanan, do you have any ideas of what you would want to say in coming weeks?
I think it'd be cool if they actually, when it got down to like two or three people, you know, once you, you know, whittle it down to people that were actually, you know, awesome, if you had them actually moderate a forum, like not a test forum or a forum specially created for the contest.
We mentioned that earlier. People, in the future, there's some, like even some of the competitions I know will take place on the actual forums. Only the intro ones are taking place in Hell's forums, but we have a couple ideas for actual forums, so that's going to happen in various forums. If you had to guess, who do you think would win? Or what group? You can name, like, multiple people if you can't narrow it down, because I know I couldn't narrow it down.
Well, I would say his name, but on the last podcast, you couldn't seem to pronounce it correctly. Trenny DeBejo. No, but Danny Trebajo has looked pretty promising. Not that I see, like, the things that he writes and, you know, all that, but...
Okay, so finishing up the podcast this week, we have the email of the week. This one's from Watkinses, who says, "What are your thoughts on how being a fan of a franchise can sometimes be inversely proportional to the enjoyment one can get from the new entries in that series? The obvious example is Banjo. I've seen several newcomers to the series adore Nuts and Bolts, and yet some veterans are hindered by their expectations, not enjoying it as much as they perhaps could have."
I will say one thing about Nuts and Bolts. I don't actually have an Xbox of any kind, but I went to my friend's house and played Nuts and Bolts for like 10 minutes, threw down a controller, and walked out of the room.
Here's what I have to say about it. Like, I haven't actually played Nuts and Bolts. I played the demo, but not the full version. Just for like a couple hours, and it's not a bad game by any means. It's a decent game, but what I think about it is it just doesn't. It's not like a true banjo game in my opinion, because you know when you think of Banjo, you think of platforming, and that just wasn't really what I expected to see in the next Banjo game.
Problem was that it was a main installment. When you play Mario Kart. I mean, it's a card game. It's obviously not like a Mario game, but you don't get mad because you know that Mario Galaxy is going to be coming out. You know that even if whatever next Mario, even after Galaxy 2, there's going to be Mario Sluggers, etc. But you know another regular Mario game is going to come out. With Banjo, it was like, okay, this is it. We're not getting a platforming Banjo on the side. This is the only Banjo we have to enjoy. So it's just kind of disappointment out of not getting a proper one. You know what I mean?
I think the trailer was kind of like misleading too. Like the first trailer back in 2006, it had nothing to mention with like vehicles or anything like that, so you have like different kinds of expectations when, you know, they finally revealed it.
Well, that's what the email sort of about, you know, is that expectations because we've been a long time fan, do you think we would have enjoyed it more if we were new to the series?
I guess we would, but I mean that's like cheating. Like if the third, say the third Halo was a Halo 3 basketball lovers, I don't know. And it's a really good basketball game, and you've never played Halo, and you're like, hell yeah, this is the best basketball game I ever played, and it seems great. That's fine, but I mean, if you just got done playing two first-person shooters, yeah, it's going to piss you off. So, I mean, you could say that we're only angsty and we're only against it because we're fans, but I mean, that's a point of franchises for fans and stuff like that. The point of franchise isn't for anyone to just pick it up and go, okay, this by itself is a good game. You know what I mean? Like, they should have got a new IP if they wanted to just be a standalone game everyone can love. I don't know, just my opinion.
I would have seriously gone for tip-top Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah, see, me too. Timber Nuts and Bolts, Timber seems like a woodworker.
Well, Nuts and Bolts to me felt like a Banjo game. Like, looking back on it now, it feels to me like a real Banjo game, so I don't have a problem with it.
What, even? Besides the characters.
And the music, but there's really nothing else really, those gameplay elements that were in like the first Banjo games, there's none of that really there from what I felt.
Realistically, there's not a lot of difference between them having a set challenges and then just leaving the jiggies around and making the challenges for ourselves to collect. To me, it seemed pretty much the same. You could go exploring the world, you can go and build your vehicles and
whatever. Because the world barely had anything in it. They were big fucking empty worlds for your car to track around in. It's not like the other games where they were tight, small areas where, you know, you'd go in rooms, you'd go to Jolly Roger's Lagoon, you'd go into the house, you'd go over into the back room of the house, and then you'd go down and there would be like this underwater cave lair. There was nothing like that. It was one big open area you'd fly around in your little silly car.
Not to mention you're shown where the challenges are on the map, so that doesn't really help the exploring thing at all.
Yeah.
The showing the challenges on the map, I would have removed that so that did have a bit more excitement to it, I suppose, you know, just a bit more unknown.
And you had the same five characters in every level. That's not Banjo-y at all. Every world had its own theme, its own characters that fit it, like Dilberta and that hick redneck were down in the mine. You go to the cloud world and you have all the silly sausage flippers and stuff like that. They all had like their own theme characters. Oh, this game was basically lifeless. It only had a handful of characters that appeared in every world. None of them were thematic, except for their outfits, if you even count that. And then half the characters that did return, like Clank or Mr. Patch, were basically just inanimate floating or just sitting there, you know. Like, they didn't say anything. There was no personality to them. Mr. Patch wasn't like, oh, hey, please stop shooting at me, wobble, wobble, anything like that. It took basically all of the soul out of the game.
That's what I think. There's, like, nothing really banjo-y except the characters.
Yeah, like in the other ones, you know, you'd have Gruntilda talking to you all the time as you go around, and it was kind of silly, and actually, looking back on it, unless you're, like, 8, it's kind of half-assed having Granny, like, rhyme your way through the thing there, but at the same time, it gave it sort of, like, its own personality in that. Now there's none of that. That's all gone.
I mean, what can I say? It's just one of those things that I feel, like, looking back. It's not a traditional Banjo game. Like, you know, everything that you just said, you're right, it's not there. It's not the traditional Banjo game. But for people to go and say that, you know, they don't consider it to be part of the series, things like that, well, I think it's wrong, because I do think it's got a Banjo feel to it. I think I'm perfectly happy with it being Banjo 3. I'm not saying I want to see a carbon copy as Banjo 4, but I'm happy with it being Banjo 3.
No, you're a silly man.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. This is kind of off topic, but
do you think
the game would have sold as well if it didn't have Banjo as the, you know, the title? It was some other character or a different group of characters or whatever.
Was Kazooie involved?
Hardly.
If it was advertised correctly, I think it would have sold better.
Than a Banjo game?
I think, well, one, a lot of Banjo's audience isn't on the Xbox. I mean, right off the bat. A lot of people, Banjo was first and foremost a Nintendo franchise. So, I mean, a lot of us did get it, the 360 and that 4 Rare games. But, I mean, like, you guys talked about in the last podcast, a lot of people don't even know Rare exists. You say Rare, and they're like, who's that? And then you say Banjo, and they're like, who's that? And then you say Donkey Kong Country, and they're like, oh. Like, people on this console, just right off the bat, aren't really just dying for the new Banjo game. Otherwise, it would have sold better, because Banjo's in it.
The issue is, I think, if I can say, that they split a fan base that was already split.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, they had whiplash then, because it was a new direction. So there's a lot of people that didn't buy it or returned it right away. Like Aaron, he didn't buy it because it had all the vehicles and everything. So you already, now you're taking, like Bottle said, an already split fan base, and you're cutting it down by making it completely different from the other game. So I think if they would have use Microsoft's mad promotioning skills, because they can promote the hell out of anything, they would have gave it an entire new character, and then they put this big create your own vehicles, blah blah blah, and they made it sound, you know, like glorified, like this was an awesome thing, create blah 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 blah, do everything yourself, a real physics engine, everything, etc. And then they shit off at E3 and they put like big banners in that. I think people would have been excited, like, oh yeah, I want to play this creepy car game where you make all of your own vehicles, etc., etc. But it was Banjo, so people are like, oh, Banjo. especially older people, they're like, oh, Banjo, I'm not 5 years old, stuff like that. I think they should just, I don't know, and no one would have been pissed. None of us would have been pissed, it just would have been a new Rare game. Like everyone on the Rare Witch Project, you know, they masturbate over Viva Pinata, and they all get excited over Perfect Dark, etc. So I think the second, if they would have released a new IP, I think people would have gone just as crazy for it.
You know, I think
it didn't intrude on anything.
One of the other problems was, too, getting back to the email, like people who are just playing Banjo for the first time, I don't think it's really a good game to be, like, introduced to the series. It seems more like a, like you said, like it seems more like a spin-off than an actual, like, main entry.
Yeah, so it's not, like, that's another problem. Now people that are new to Banjo might not buy the next Banjo game. You know, that's probably not good.
People that are used to playing, like, vehicle platforming would probably find, well, it's possible, but they'd probably find, like, a regular Banjo game not to what they like.
Yeah. And that's, now they got themselves in a lock, because, like you just said, some people are going to want another retarded Banjo game, no offense. But, I mean, I like the Banjo game. I thought it was fun. As a not Banjo game, that game was fun. But anyway, so now you got those people that are going to be expecting the vehicles, but there's people that want the other moves back. So in the next game, how do you do that? How do you bring the moves back and keep the vehicle gameplay so that both of your new re-split fan base is happy with it?
You know what you do? You repackage Super Mario Sunshine as a Banjo game, and then when people get home and play it, they're like, this is awesome! And they forget that Banjo was ever involved.
I'm all for using Kazooie as a water gun.
Okay, now tell me, I haven't played the game fully, but aside from, like, that first level, but does Kazooie actually, like, serve a purpose in the game, or does she kind of just there.
Nope, just there.
So I mean, that's
and since
like
this game has no soul, she doesn't even really talk. So you don't even really get like the Kazooie smart-ass personality that often, except in the handful of cutscenes there are. So no, she's basically there just because the series is called Banjo-Kazooie.
Do they ever split up, or is she always like stuck with Banjo?
Nope, always with Banjo. And you never even see her because she just pulls out a fucking wrench.
That's all we have for you this week. I'd like to thank Larry, Rich, Aaron, and our special guest host, Keenan, for joining me. Remember to keep sending in emails and virtual high-fives to podcast@rarewitchproject.com. If we read your email on the show, you'll get a nice little trophy on the forums. If you want to support the show, please subscribe and review it on iTunes, and of course, feel free to leave comments on the forums. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the express written consent of the Rare Witch Project. It is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hey, you know how Australia was mostly populated by England sending people there for jail, right?
Yep.
So, Kelvin, what crime did your parents commit?
My parents? No. Somewhere way back in the family, someone was sent over here for stealing roof tiles.
Are you making shit up off the top of your head or really?
No, that's dead set serious.
Really?
Oh.